Good morning, and welcome to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program this morning. Hope that everything is going well with you today, that perhaps you're thinking about getting out and worshiping God this morning. It is the first day of the week, a day on which Christians all over the world come together to honor the God of heaven and remember His Son, study His Word, and worship Him. We'll be doing all of those things this morning at Eastside. We invite you to be with us. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31 in Athens. Come be with us for worship and Bible study. But if you can't, come join us in our assembly. Check us out online. Our services are live streamed on Facebook, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens. You can go to our Facebook page and look at the live streaming, or you can go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the media tab and the live streaming there. But come out and be with us if you can today. We'd love to get to know you, meet you, have a chance to study God's Word with you. We've been looking here on the program the last 3 weeks at the Sermon on the Mount, especially the first part of it, a section known as the Beatitudes. We've seen Jesus going up onto a mountain, sitting down, and having His disciples come, and He begins this wonderful sermon by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And then the fourth of these sayings, these blessings, these Beatitudes as we call them, is this. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So we'll be talking about this particular statement of Jesus this morning and exploring in depth what it is that Jesus is saying to us. Each of these blessings or beatitudes, there's something that we are to do or some attitude that we are to have to receive a particular blessing. Here, we're to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So I guess the first thing we should talk about is, well, what is righteousness? Well, it's got the word right in it, right? So righteousness is doing right or being right with God. And in order to be right, we must do that which is right. And when we do that which is wrong, the only way to be right with God is to get forgiveness from Him. We learn in the Bible that the Lord is the very definition of righteousness. In fact, in Lamentations 1 and verse 18, it says, "The Lord is righteous." You know, God is said to be a number of things in Scripture. He's said to be love. He's said to be light. He's said to be a consuming fire. But here we learn that the Lord is righteous. Revelation chapter 16, verse 5, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 7 also describes Him as righteous, as do several other scriptures. Not only is the Lord righteous then, but everything that He says and everything that He tells us to do is also righteous, and it really defines what righteousness is for us. In the 119th Psalm, the psalmist said in verse 172, "All your commands are righteousness." So what is righteous? Righteous is defined by who God is. He tells us what is right to do, what the expectations are for us to be righteous. And He also provides a way when we fall short of His standard to become righteous by getting forgiveness of our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll talk about that some a little bit later on. But righteousness then is to be a first priority in the Christian's life. It's something we're supposed to be seeking if we're going to be pleasing to God. There are a lot of things in this world that concern us, our health, our food, our clothing, things that we need, things that we need to take care of. God understands all of that. We have various priorities just to be able to function physically in this world. But there's one priority that should be above all of that. Jesus talks about that later in this same sermon in Matthew chapter 6, still in the Sermon on the Mount. He talks about not serving two masters. You can't serve God and the things of this world, he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. But then he says a little bit later on in the context, Matthew 6 and verse 31, he says, "Do not worry, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Well, in the Beatitude that we're studying, Jesus had said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Jesus says in Matthew 6, that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So this must be a priority for us. Jesus is surely teaching this in both of these statements. In fact, Jesus will die for us so that we can live for righteousness. Later on, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 writes this about Jesus Christ. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree so that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. What is all that saying? What are we learning? Well, we're learning that God wants us with all of our might to seek to be righteous. Jesus provided a means for us to be righteous and to live righteously when he died for our sins. So through that, we can have our sins forgiven, and then by seeking God and his word, we can live righteous lives. That involves doing right and being right, like Jesus. Jesus Christ is called the righteous. And if we're to be righteous and to seek righteousness, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, we must then seek to be like him. That's pretty simple, really. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7 puts it very plainly. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Jesus is righteous, and we, when we practice righteousness, we are like him. And that's really what it means to be a Christian, isn't it? To be one who is Christ-like, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. Righteousness is far more than just doing a few good things. I think sometimes people get the idea that, well, they're living a righteous life or some kind of good life, a moral life, a life that pleases God because, you know, they do a few good things. I read some time ago that 85% of all drivers in America consider themselves to be above average drivers. Of course, that's impossible. Only 49% can be above average. If 50% is average, then, you know, only 49% can be above average. But 85% of us think that we're above average drivers. I think that's the way it is when it comes to righteousness. Most people think themselves to be right, to be living righteous lives, to be pleasing to God. But I think it might take a good bit more than we imagine. And we must be not just average, but we must be Christ-like. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to earnestly desire to be right like Christ is right. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. Holiness and purity in our thinking and in our actions, that's what those who hunger and thirst after righteousness are seeking for. So if surveyed, people would give a variety of answers about what it means to be righteous. Some would say, well, you know, I go to church a couple of times a year, so that makes me righteous. Others would say, well, I go to church most of the time. Some would say, well, I go to church and I go to Bible class as well, and I have a Bible study at home and daily prayer and all of that sort of thing. And I try to do good to my neighbor and, you know, might list a number of things, but none of that is really fully adequate when it comes to hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're not going to be fully satisfied until we have Christ in us and we're living our lives for him and through him. To be Christ-like, that is righteousness. Our own ideas about righteousness are not what we're looking for. Our standards are far too low. Our standards are far too low when it comes to living right and being right with God. And we as humans need to understand that. That's what Jesus is getting to really in a couple of the earlier Beatitudes. Remember he had said just before this, he had said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." You have to be humble. You have to realize how great God is and how much you need him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You have to be sorrowful for your sins. You have to realize the real problem of sin in your life. And then last week we talked about blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who put themselves wholly under the control of God. And so this next beatitude or blessing that we're looking at that Jesus states in Matthew 5 and verse 6 is really built on these three previous ones, isn't it? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are we hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Are we hungering and thirsting to be like God wants us to be like His Son? Or are we satisfied with something else, something less, something that we have imagined on our own is good enough? The Apostle Paul, in writing in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, speaks about some of his own countrymen who were ignorant of God's righteousness, he says, and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It's always a mistake to try to seek our own righteousness. We don't want to be just good in our own estimation or the estimation of humankind or the estimation of others. We want to be good in the estimation of God. That's what true righteousness is, where He declares you justified, where He declares that you're right. And again, we fall short of that when we sin, but Jesus can forgive our sins. He bore our sins on the cross. That's what we read already in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. So going forward now this morning with these ideas, our own righteousness is not going to suffice. We must seek the righteousness that comes in and through God. We must strive to be like the Lord and not be satisfied until we're living as He would want us to live and being what He would want us to be. That's really hungering and thirsting for righteousness. In Psalm 17 and verse 15, the psalmist says, "As for me, I will seek your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." That's what Jesus is talking about, hungering and thirsting for righteousness and not being satisfied until we're like Him, until we're like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to this concept of hungering and thirsting. I think most of us in this land don't really know what it means to be really hungry. Some of us may have been really thirsty at a time or two in our lives. I've had the privilege of traveling to some countries that were not nearly as developed as the United States, where people go hungry with some regularity. And it's a different life that they're living. They spend a lot of their day just trying to find something to eat, trying to find something to drink that's not polluted in some way. And it's a real struggle for people in some of these what are sometimes called third world countries to just find something to eat. Maybe because we don't appreciate what real hunger is, we find it difficult to understand what Jesus is saying to us when He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." But if you go without food for some time and you get really, really hungry and finding something good to eat is difficult, Jesus is wanting us to think about that sort of condition where we're really desiring something good to eat, something good to drink. We might compare it, and the Bible compares it, to a newborn baby who is hungry. And we know when babies get hungry, they let that be known. They can't tell you in words, "I'm hungry, I need something to eat," but they can sure let it be known when they're hungry. And so in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Peter writes, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." So in a lot of ways, we're to be like that hungry baby that wants some sustenance. We're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, to be right in God's eyes, to live a righteous life, to be blessed by Him in this way. In Psalm 42, in verses 1 and 2, the psalmist there describes our desire for God and His righteousness in this way: "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Are we thirsting for God? Are we wanting Him and His righteousness? I think there are a lot of people in this world that are not thirsting for God. They don't really even probably want to think about God that much. And they sure don't want to be righteous in the way that God is or in the way that God expects them to be. Again, we want to establish our own righteousness. We want to do what we want to do. But those who are truly blessed and blessed in the way that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, if we'll really hunger and thirst for righteousness, we can find it. We shall be filled, is what He says. We need to be like that deer that is, you know, been running on a hot day and is just so thirsty, and he's just looking for some water somewhere. The deer that's panting after the water brooks. We need to be panting after God and his righteousness. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22 to pursue righteousness. The idea of pursuing there is to run after with all your might, to go for it with everything. And the psalmist in Psalm 63 and verse 1 says to God, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Now just imagine walking through some barren desert, the Sahara Desert in northern Africa, or even some of the deserts in the United States, and some of our pioneers going through Death Valley and just seeking water everywhere when there was none to be found. Can you imagine being so thirsty and so desperate just to find some water? But that's how we're to be in our thirst for God and his righteousness. That's what Jesus is conveying for us. I don't know what your situation is in your life this morning. I don't know how much you want God and his righteousness. But Jesus is appealing to us. He's telling us that we can have it. We can have God, and we can be righteous. We can be filled with his righteousness. But we have to seek it in this way that somebody does who's just parched in thirst, who's hungry, starving, and just will do whatever it takes to get something to drink, to get something to eat. We're so focused on that. That is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. There's an ancient tale from India about a young man who said that he was seeking God, and he goes to this old wise sage for help, and he asked the old man, how can I find God? So the old man took him to a nearby river, and the two of them waded out into the deep water, and before very long the water was all the way up to their chins. Suddenly the old man grabbed the young man by the neck and pushed him down under the water. He held the young man down until the young man was flailing, and the water was beginning to get, you know, into his mouth, and he couldn't breathe, and he was flailing in desperation. Another minute, maybe, he might have drowned, but finally the old man let him up. He comes up out of the water, and he is gasping for air, and he's coughing water up out of his lungs, and he makes it to the bank, and he yells at the old man, and he says, what did that have to do with me finding God? And the old man said to him quietly, he said, while you were under the water, what did you want more than anything else? And the young man said, well, I wanted to breathe. I wanted air. And the old man replied, when you want God as much as you wanted air, you will find him. And I'm telling you this morning, when you want God, when you want to do right and be right in his eyes, as much as somebody who's drowning wants air, as much as somebody who's starving wants food, as much as somebody who's parched and dying of thirst wants water, when you want God and his righteousness that much, you'll find him. You can find him. God and his righteousness are found in his word. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9, Isaiah says, with my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are on the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. See, we learn righteousness through God's judgments, through his commands, through his word. The psalmist in the 119th Psalm says in verse 123, my eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. The psalmist is talking about looking for God and his righteousness in his word. This is where it's found. So again, how much do you want it this morning? Are you willing to study the Bible? We'd love to study the Bible with you at Eastside. We'd love to even, some of us come, you know, meet you someplace or come to your home and sit down and just open God's Word with you. We'd love for you to sign up for a Bible correspondence course where you could study the Bible just in a correspondence course. You can go to our website and sign up for one of those. We offer correspondence course about Jesus. We offer one about the Gospel of Mark, the Book of Acts. You're welcome to go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org, and you'll see a banner there to study the Bible at home, and you can click on that and sign up to study God's Word, the Bible. But I'm telling you that it is in God's Word, through the expression of His will, that we find in the Scriptures, that we'll find what righteousness is, because in God's Word we see Him, and we find out what His commands are. You remember, we started out by saying that God is righteous, and His commands are righteous. This is where we'll find righteousness, by seeking Him in His Word. We're seeing that again in Psalm 119 and verse 123. How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? Are you willing to really get serious about seeking the righteousness of God? You know, there are a lot of things in life that are unsatisfying, to say the least, and a lot of things are not meant to satisfy us in the way we might like to satisfy. For instance, water will satisfy our thirst, at least for a little while, but salt water won't. You can drink salt water and it'll just make you more thirsty, right? Somebody who's really thirsty doesn't want to drink salt water. It's not going to help them. There are a lot of things in this world that don't fulfill us, are not filling, and will not satisfy our desire to be right and to do right in the eyes of God. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, in verse 18, we come to the familiar story where this certain ruler comes to Jesus and he asks him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God. But you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." He said, "All these things I've kept from my youth up." So here's a young man, he wants to know what to do to have eternal life. Jesus tells him, "Do the commandments." He says, "Well, I've done all these things." When Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when he heard this, he became sorrowful, for he was very rich. So here this man, we call him the rich young ruler, says he wants to do what Jesus wants him to do, but when it comes down to it, he's not that hungry. He's not that thirsty, because he's filled his life up with things, but the things that he's filled his life up with are in fact not satisfying. Not satisfying really at all. And so it is with a lot of us. We have things and we have pleasures that we enjoy, and we have life that's going on, and we're involved in this or that. We have family, we have friends, we may have work, we have school, we have a home. And all of these things are filling up our lives. But are we filled with righteousness? Are we pleasing in God's eyes? That's the first priority. That has to come before everything else, really. The things that we filled our lives up with may not be the things that are really fulfilling. Jesus talks to the church at Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. They said, "I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing." Jesus said to them, "You do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So many people in the world think they have everything, but they have really nothing that's eternally fulfilling. But I'm telling you that righteousness is to know God, to have a righteous God in your life, to know His will, to follow His word, which is righteous, which will lead you to do that which is right and be justified before Him. This is fulfilling. This makes life worth living. Solomon, in the Old Testament, wise man, he knew that material things can never satisfy. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, he wrote that he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increased. This also is vanity. In Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 7, he says, "The labor of a man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied." We eat food, we have lots of things, we have riches, and yet we're not really satisfied. Even people in the world know that this is the case. They strive to find satisfaction, fulfillment in so many things. I think it was the Rolling Stones a few years ago who had a song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And that's really how it is in the world. Satisfaction cannot be found in those things. Let's seek that which really satisfies, God and His Word. Isaiah 55 in verse 1. "Listen, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. I'm telling you that what is good is righteousness. Righteousness in God. Righteousness in His Word. Seek this. This is what we need. And this is what will fill us. That's what Jesus said. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word filled there comes from a word in the original language. It's the word gorge, basically. It's to have a supply of food in abundance. Like David in the 23rd Psalm, he talks about his cup running over. Jesus is promising us that our cup will run over. You know, there was a commercial for a beverage not long ago that ran quite a bit on television about supposedly the most interesting man in America. And he would, at the end of the commercial, he would say, "Stay thirsty, my friends." I always thought that was the craziest commercial. Who wants to stay thirsty? Nobody wants to stay thirsty. We want to be fulfilled. We want our needs taken care of. We want to have no need to thirst. In John chapter 4 and verse 13, this is what Jesus promises. You remember, he goes through Samaria and he stops at this well. His disciples go into the town of Sychar. He's sitting there by the well by himself, and this woman comes up to draw water, a Samaritan woman, and he has this conversation with her. He asks her for a drink, and she's kind of astonished at that. But they get to talking about water, and Jesus says to her in John chapter 4 and verse 13 that whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. I tell you, that's the water I want. I want the water that you drink it and you never thirst again. Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 35 says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. That's the food I want. I want the food where you'll eat it and you'll never have to be hungry again. This is what Jesus is promising us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satiated. They shall be slaked. They will be no more in need. That's what we want in this life, to be fulfilled. It's my hope, as Paul expresses it in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, to live a life that is so perfectly and wonderfully satisfying because God has filled you with His self, His truth, His righteous ways. And thus you can live a life that is so wonderful and, as we say, so fulfilling because you are filled. Are you filled with all the fullness of God? Are you? I hope that that is the case with you. But again, if not, I want you to know that we'd love to help you. There are two kinds of people in this world, those who are walking the way that leads to life and those who are not. Which path are you on? God is going to render to each one of us according to our deeds. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 6, that's what the text says. And it explains that to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But the other kind of people are those, it says, who are self-seeking, who do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. And to them it shall be indignation and wrath. Which path are you on this morning? Our plea is for you to walk the way that leads to life.